spend on your AC bill. Call USI Mesa Insulation at 602-346-9287 and get a pair of spring training tickets just for calling. I'm Staff Meteorologist Charles Weatherby.
And right now, sunshine, 76 degrees. The Dow is up 163 points at 18,021. S&P is up 10 at 2,081. The NASDAQ up 11 at 4938. Reporting for Money Radio, I'm Ken Morgan.
Good afternoon. We are glad you're joining Energy 101 with Troy Eckerd from Eckerd Global. This show will be a great opportunity for listeners who are interested in receiving pertinent education and material about what is taking place in the energy market. Energy 101 is about your investment and your future. Now, here's your host, Troy Eckerd.
Well, good afternoon, audience. This is Troy Eckerd, the CEO of Eckerd Global, and today our show is going to be talking about some energy investments or energy opportunities regarding the midstream space. Now, many of you do not even know what midstream means, but let me start off with a couple of announcements, if I could, before we get started into the real guts of the program. First off, Eckerd Global will be working and attending the Tucson Conquistador Classic, which is going to be a PGA Championship Tour on March 16th through March the 22nd. I will be out there hosting some existing relationships with existing partners and answering questions from some of the attendees that will be coming to the Conquistador Classic. Now, the Conquistador Classic is, in fact, going to raise capital from golfers and professionals and attendees, all going to local Tucson children's charities. So we highly encourage everyone to come out, buy tickets, and support the Classic golf tournament, meet some PGA famous individuals, and, of course, have an opportunity maybe to meet myself and some of my team. We have a lot of partners for the last couple of decades in the Tucson and Phoenix area, and we really enjoy the climate. And, of course, we can't wait to meet many of our listeners one-on-one out at the Classic tournament. And, of course, we're excited about being out there in better weather, considering Dallas has had two or three snowstorms here in the last couple of weeks. So, again, this is Troy Eckerd. I'm the CEO of Eckerd Global. The show you've tuned into is called Energy 101. It's an educational, informational hour packed with information about specific energy assets and energy sector information. And today we're going to talk about the midstream space. Now, let me just give you kind of an example. I mentioned this in a couple of weeks ago, but for those new listeners or those that are tuning back in for the second time, the oil and gas space is really broken down into three different sectors. You have upstream, which is kind of like a river. It's everything that's up the stream from you, meaning that it's the source of the oil and gas that's produced. So it's all the exploration, the exploitation, the production, and the wellhead. The midstream of energy happens to be the space in between. It is everything from the wellhead, where the oil and gas comes out of the ground, all the way to a particular endpoint in which that raw crude oil, that raw natural gas, the raw liquids that are being produced, in fact, are going to change their format and take on a new, more refined product, such as diesel, gasoline, propane, and other byproducts that come out of raw materials. Now, let me just bring you up to speed real quick. It's been kind of an exciting last 6 to 12 weeks. We've watched the oil and gas industry really take it on the chin, with oil prices sinking to down as low as, I believe, $44 a barrel. It seems like the last 14 days we've stabilized around $50 for crude oil. Natural gas has just not shown a strong rebound. You would think with all the weather we've had the last 6 to 8 weeks in the Northeast, you'd think all the snowstorms in central United States as well as in the Southeast over near Atlanta and Tennessee and Kentucky, that we might see natural gas prices really getting stronger, and in fact they're not. We're still seeing about $2.70 an MCF of gas, and it is really mind-boggling to many of the industry experts why we're not seeing natural gas prices higher. There still is a virtual split down the middle with regard to expectations of crude oil prices. But with all that being said, and all the different changes and all the ups and downs and what looks to be some real fat trimming over the next 3 to 5 months in the oil and gas exploration or upstream space, the industry that's probably least paid attention to is the midstream space. And that's because it typically is a quiet, silent partner that works on supporting and developing opportunities for these producers, these oil and gas exploration companies, to get their product to market. Now, I would venture to guess that many of you that are listening to the show today that have stock portfolios or that have investments in mutual funds or private equity investments, you're probably invested in what's called a master limited partnership, an MLP. And an MLP is an opportunity for you to invest in a tradable security like the stock market, where you can buy units or shares of a publicly traded company whose main focus is investing in infrastructure. Predominantly 90% of these master limited partnerships traded on the New York Stock Exchange are involved in energy. So let's tell you a little bit about what is the midstream space, and in the second segment we'll give you a little information about master limited partnerships. Two things I'll point out. Many callers have contacted us via email and contacted us by phone calls and said, you know, you got a lot of information in less than an hour. You give us a lot of great data. It's just an hour packed full of information that's really, really helpful. One thing I can tell you, I am from South Texas. I grew up 6 miles from the Texas-Mexican border. I had three sisters. I did at one point talk with a nice, slow Texas drawl. Then I got out of third grade, got educated, and was able to speak a little more articulately. And I am a proud Texan. But let me tell you, I love my industry. I love what I do. I do it day in and day out. I eat, sleep, and breathe it. So part of my speed in talking, part of my excitement, and the wealth of information that I believe I contain is based on over 30 years of expertise in the energy space, and I want to share it with you. But if you have particular questions or you need more information or more detail about a particular subject, feel free to pick up the phone, call 800-527-8895, or always feel free to email me at teckard@eckardglobal.com. I'll be more than glad to answer your questions either one-on-one or via email once I get a chance to slow down and respond. So again, we're talking about midstream, so let's get right to it. The midstream space is exactly what it states. It is the middle of the stream. And what that is it's everything from the gathering of oil and gas from wellheads in the field through pipelines, trucks, rail cars, or other means that may be accessible to those particular producers who have wells in a distant or remote area. It involves the transportation, which means that we might have a producing oil field. We've run 4 to 6 inch pipelines that are gathering oil, gathering gas, gathering liquids from 10 or 20 particular wellheads, bringing it to a central terminal point. And from that point, we pick up maybe a 10, 12, 16 inch transportation line, which transports oil in a bulk format to a particular destination. Maybe it's a terminal where you have a railhead. What does that mean in English? It means that what we're going to do is we're going to take, like a spoke of a wheel, we're going to take all these different spokes that are out to wellheads, we're going to bring them back to a hub via a gathering or transportation line, and once it gets to the hub, we're going to find a more efficient, larger aggregated mechanism of moving crude oil, natural gas, or liquids from the field to a particular destination. So the midstream involves gathering and transportation. Now, right now, because the industry, the oil and gas industry, has actually exploded over the last 5 years, we're almost up 250% in oil output in this country. Natural gas has just gone through the roof as far as supply. The one problem we've had is that unlike the 1940s to 1970s, when we first really became a predominant petroleum-based economy, we had 40 years to build pipelines and infrastructure and roadways and trucks and terminals. We grew at a very steady, reliable pace. We, the midstream industry, kept up with the producers as they developed fields. That's not been the case the last 5 years. The last 5 years is an unprecedented increase in supply because of the success of horizontal drilling shale plays covering roughly 30 states in the country. And because of our success, you have this big gap between the amount of production coming out of the field and the ability for the midstream companies, those that are putting in these pipelines and terminals and truck headers and transportation mechanisms. We, the midstream space, have not been able to keep up. We're at least 2 to 3 years behind. So what we want to do is we want to talk to you in the second segment, right after the break. We want to talk to you about all the things that go into midstream. So let me restate them for you. It's going to include trucking, pipelines, rail cars. It's going to talk about processing and treating and blending. It's going to talk about things that are onshore and offshore. And what you, the investor, are going to learn by the time we're done after this hour is how you might be able to take a look at the midstream space and decide if it's an investment that you like or an industry that you want to take and gather more information on. This is Troy Eckard. I'm the CEO of Eckard Global. I'm in Dallas, Texas. You can always reach me at 800-527-8895 or reach me at teckard@eckardglobal.com. I'll see you on the other side of the break. I'm excited to talk to you.
Money for now, money for later, money for your heirs. The things you're concerned about, we talk about and offer great advice. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
While you're driving, what's on your mind? How about your tires? How about C&R Tire? Local, family-owned since 1996 with five valley locations. C&R Tire has the lowest prices that include free rotation and balance every 5,000 miles and free flat repairs for the life of your tires. C&R Tire with five valley locations including Scottsdale and Anthem. Stop in for a free tire inspection or call 602-492-9445 or go to cnrtire.com.
Procopy is changing the way your company buys copiers and printers. Procopy is offering a 100%, no questions asked, 12-month money-back guarantee. If for any reason during the first year you don't love your Ricoh copier from Procopy, you simply give it back. No questions asked. Just tell us in writing and we pick it up. Of course, we plan on giving you the great service you've come to expect from Procopy, including our famous 2.5-hour response time and free after-hour support so you continue to love us and to remember.
If your fax is jammed or your copies look sloppy, dial 602. Procopy.
Is the U.S. shale revolution a good or bad thing for America? Hi, I'm Troy Eckerd, and I'm the CEO of Eckerd Global out of Richardson, Texas. My career has spent over 30 years focused on the U.S. energy industry. I have built my career specializing in developing and managing investments involving exploration and development of U.S. energy resources. The shale revolution has everybody's attention, and everyone wants to know, what does the shale revolution really mean? What we want to do is every Monday at 12 noon on Money Radio Station AM 1510 and FM 99.3, we're going to present to you, the listener, Energy 101. Every listener on this radio station is affected by the price of crude oil and natural gas. If you think you're not, you'll never be able to get to work without having a barrel of oil supply that. So right now today, I want to offer you the chance to show up every Monday at noon and find out how you, too, can know more about the shale revolution. Contact us at 1-800-527-8895.
Business owners, think SRP Custom Rebates. Bring SRP your unique energy-saving challenges, and they can help you find out-of-the-box solutions to save energy and money. Get started at savewithsrpbiz.com.
Energy 101. Be a part of the U.S. oil and gas industry. Now back with Troy Eckerd of Eckerd Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckerd or Eckerd Global, please send an email to eckerd@eckerdglobal.com or call 1-800-527-8895, and we will make sure you get your questions answered. Here is your host, Troy Eckerd.
Well, welcome back. This is the second segment of Energy 101 here on Money Radio Station 1510 AM and 99.3 FM. The show is called Energy 101. It is about educating the listening audience to the energy space here in the United States, specifically talking about the petroleum industry and the different components that make up that space and how investors can take advantage of knowing more information. And that's what our show is about. It's about talking to our listeners and educating and informing them. Now, one thing I'm going to do a little plug for is I'm going to do a plug for the Tucson Conquistador Classic, which will be held March 16th through March 22nd. It's a PGA Champion Tour. Our company will be there as an invited guest by one of our long-term partners. We're there to meet and greet, have a good time watching the golfers, hopefully meet some famous individuals. And, of course, a lot of our listeners have already indicated they'll be out at the golf tournament. Come by and say hello at the booth, and we can talk about energy and we can talk about golf and just a good chance to meet and greet. Remember, the Tucson Conquistador Classic is all about the children's charities in the Tucson area. All the money goes toward taking care of the tournament and taking care of donations and contributions back to the children in your community. So if you have a chance, please come out to the tournament, and we look forward to meeting many of you when you get there. In addition, Eckerd Global will be holding a private dinner on Saturday, March the 21st at Sullivan Steakhouse there in Tucson. If you have an interest in learning more or meeting with us, you're more than welcome to go to www.eckerdglobal.com/registration. Again, that's eckerdglobal.com/registration. Let us know if you have questions or if you'd like to meet with us one-on-one, or, of course, if you'd like to join us for dinner or a cocktail, we'd be more than glad to have you come out. So as we left the last segment, what we were leaving off with is describing a little bit about the midstream space, which, for those listeners who just joined us, it is the oil and gas part of the industry that involves the moving, transportation, processing, and movement of crude oil, natural gas, and natural gas liquids from the wellhead out in the field to a final destination point. Now, one thing I can tell you is that because of the incredible success of the last 5 years in developing shale plays all over the United States, from Florida to North Dakota, South Texas, New Mexico, we have developed so much supply that the infrastructure, the real estate, the pipelines, the terminals, the trucks, the rail cars, not any of those particular supporting type of transportation solutions have been able to keep up with the explosive exploration success that has occurred. So our country is looking at a large supply of new oil and gas that's coming into the marketplace, which is why your gasoline prices are cheaper, which is why your electricity is going cheaper, which is why oil prices are down. The fact of the matter is that it probably would be even lower if we could go ahead and help the oil and gas producers in this country get their oil and gas to market faster, quicker, and easier. So the question I always get when we talk about midstream is, well, tell me who pays. Who's the one who's going to pay for that transportation? Is it the consumer? Is it the producer? How does this all work out? And I guess the best way I could describe the midstream space is like having a toll road. You know, whether it's a municipal or state developed highway that decides to charge tolls, the tolls literally go for the underpinnings of the financial support of building that road. In the case of the who pays part, well, obviously, whichever cars or whichever consumer decides to drive in that toll road by paying your toll fee, you're ultimately paying back the money that it costs to build and develop that particular highway. Well, pipelines and the transportation industry for oil and gas is exactly the same way. You've got oil and gas companies who are out there developing and drilling and trying to find oil and gas reserves so they can be successful and make good economic returns for their shareholders. And part of their economic model is they have to consider, well, what will it take in terms of cost and efficiency to get our product from the wellhead to the market? Now, the one thing I can tell you about the midstream space, I personally and my company and my partners have been drilling wells since 1985, and what we always find is almost like having a gun to your head. You know, whenever I'm in the middle of the desert, hypothetically, and I'm about to run out of ability to continue to walk because I haven't had water in 3 days, and I run across a little stand and the guy says, you know, a bottle of water is $800 a bottle. I'm not going to really argue because that's the only source of water that I can see. Well, in some cases, that's what happens to producers. They go out and they drill and find a successful field. They want to move gas or oil from that successful discovery, and they find out there's only one pipeline carrier within close proximity, and the pipeline company pretty much dictates the terms, and it's not really much of a choice. If you don't sell your product, you don't make any money. Well, in this case, we know that we have these massive shale fields that cover Texas, Louisiana, they cover Florida, North Dakota, the Marcellus in Pennsylvania. And so the pipeline industry, the gatherers, the midstream space, knows where the oil and gas is being developed, but they also know that these producers are really, really needing a lot of oil and gas moved. So the midstream particular space of our industry, they typically take a very conservative approach. They say to the producers, I tell you what I want you to do. You demonstrate to me that you have enough capital to continue to drill, because I need supply. I need a lot of cars moving down that highway to pay for this toll road that I'm about to build. I need to know that you have the financial ability to not only bring me supply, but continue to develop new supply. The second thing is I need to know exactly how big your project is. Is it so big that I need a four-lane highway or just a two-lane highway? How much oil and gas will you be developing so I can decide if it's going to be a 16-inch pipe or a 30-inch pipe? You know, how are the fees determined? Well, the fees are usually determined a couple of ways. The first thing is that when I or anybody in the midstream space looks at a producer, you're going to ask the same questions I just did, but you're also going to say, how far do I have to move it? How remote is your location? What kind of services do you want me to provide? Do you want me to gather your crude oil, or do you want me to gather and compress your gas? Do you want me to split your oil into byproducts? Do you want me to blend it so that way you're heavier crude oil is blended with a lighter crude oil, so that way maybe you get a better price because now you're trying to move it toward that center quality of crude oil that gets paid the highest price by the refinery. Well, the key is that it all boils down to how much supply can you guarantee me, how long will you give me that guarantee, how much quantity are you going to give me, and how much does all that mean in relative financial security for the amount of money I'm going to have to spend to put in that rail terminal, that pipeline, that gas processing plant, et cetera. So like in any business, and most of you on this radio station today, your business is no different than mine, and that is that you have to determine what the customer is willing to pay for the product you're going to deliver. But in this case, the producer pays the fee. Now, we all know that it's ultimately paid by the consumer, But in this case, the actual check written and the fee or the discount off the barrel of oil or MCF of gas is really going to be attributed directly to that producer from the very beginning. Now, the next question I get quite a bit is, well, who regulates pipelines? Now, that all depends. Like highways, it depends on, is it a county road? Is it a state road, or is it a federal highway? The same thing exists in pipelines. It all has to do with how far you're transmitting or how far you're moving the product, whether you're crossing state or county lines, whether you're crossing particular parishes. So really, the regulations are set up by Federal Regulatory Commission, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in Washington, D.C., when it's an interstate pipeline, or it may just be a state pipeline, or maybe even just a local gathering line, which requires no more than simple filings of permits and regulation. Now, when you think about the midstream space, one of the reasons why they've done so well over the last 20 years is that midstream companies look at the cost of capital at being about 15 to 20%. In other words, if they can't look at, the midstream space, can't look at a midstream project, a pipeline, processing plant, an oil terminal, and they can't determine that the amount of volume and the customers they have can generate a 15 to 20-plus percent rate of return, they're not likely to deploy their capital. So it's some pretty fat margins. It's pretty respectable rates of return with a pretty low-risk proposition. So when those commodity prices come down, the question always is, are midstream companies taking a big risk because of commodity prices? And I would say there's about 75% of the fees that are generated from the services that are provided are not directly affected by commodity prices. The main effect of commodity prices is that our partner in this proposition, the oil companies that are drilling wells, they may drill less wells, they may drill and generate less supply, which is kind of like saying, I have a road under construction. There's not going to be 30,000 cars on the interstate today. There's only 20,000 because we have a lot of construction, and somebody decided either to take a different route or they decided not to take the trip. Whenever we have commodity prices down, oil companies drill less wells, they generate less supply, and thus the amount of traffic through those pipelines, those processing plants, is less. So you're not really at risk for the price of the commodity. It's more of a supply issue. Now, there are some risks that are taken by midstream companies where they decide, you know what, this is a really healthy market. Oil prices are very high. I believe that the condensate that's being produced with these gas wells looks like a very nice margin. What we'll do, midstream company talking to producer, is we'll go ahead and give ourselves an opportunity to maybe participate in the upside. We'll charge you a flat rate for gathering your gas, and we'll take a percent of proceeds, a pop, which allows us to share in the revenues from some of your liquids, or maybe we'll decide to take a certain ratio of risk on our fee, where the fee is set at a minimal rate, but the rate goes a lot higher as commodity prices go higher. So your risk is that your base fee is a little low to start with, but your upside is pretty well very healthy if the market, in your opinion, seems to be a rising commodity price market. So what I want to tell you is a couple of things. In the next segment, when we come back, we're going to talk about master limited partnerships and how anybody that is qualified to write a check to participate in the stock market can get involved and what they look like. I want to remind you that this is Troy Eckerd. I'm the host of the Energy 101. Every Monday, I get excited to be on Money Radio Station, 1510 AM, 99.3 FM. You can always reach me at 800-527-8895 or on my email address, teckerd@eckerdglobal.com. We look forward to seeing you at the Tucson Conquistador Classic, which is going to be March 16th through 22nd. I'll see you on the other side of the break, give you more details about it. You can register and come see us. And again, Troy Eckerd with Eckerd Global. See you after a few seconds.
Look at the world's news. Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
A demonstration in Madison, Wisconsin.
We don't want no killer cops!
Protests over the shooting of 19-year-old Tony Robinson, an unarmed black man who was diagnosed with ADHD, anxiety, and depression. Police Chief Mike Koval tells the family he can't say how sorry he is and asks Robinson family and friends to search their hearts for a measure of forgiveness. But University of Oklahoma President David Boren has no forgiveness for the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, whose members chanted racist slogans that went viral on YouTube.
As far as I'm concerned, it won't be back, at least not while I'm president of the university.
Boren ordered the frat house to be vacant by midnight tomorrow. And Apple has unveiled its first new product since the death of Steve Jobs. CEO Tim Cook calls the Apple Watch the most personal product the company has ever made.
It's not just with you, It's on you.
Right now, the Dow is 156 points higher. NASDAQ is up 15. The S&P has gained 10. I'm Evan Haney.
Imagine a store that lets you get anything you wanted. An HD flat-screen TV, a high-capacity, ultra-quiet washer and dryer, a complete living room set. And imagine if you didn't need a lick of credit to get it. That store simply believed in you. Imagine if they even delivered it, set it up, and serviced it at no additional cost. Well, that store exists. That's Rent-A-Center. Imagine that. No credit needed. Affordable payment plans. Delivery, setup, and service included. Imagine new possibilities at Rent-A-Center. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details.
On Monday, Josh Leibarger made a status.
Case of the Mondays.
Followed by a frowny face. It got one like and five comments, including dislike. Well, Josh, Geico also wants to make a comment to turn that emoji's frown upside down. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. With all that extra dough, why not give Monday a makeover? We see an office party in your future. Hosted by you. Hashtag happy face. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
When people want to talk about money, they get their talking points right where you are now. Money Radio 1510 AM and 99.3 FM.
Hello, I'm Jim Gentrop, principal partner with Valvista Capital Management. At Valvista, we focus on small company stocks. We offer our clients over 25 years of research and portfolio management experience. Our clients, many of whom are high net worth investors and lead busy lives, entrust Valvista Capital Management to create additional wealth through small company stocks. In addition, the principals at Valvista Capital Management, unlike many money managers, have a significant portion of their assets invested alongside our clients. You should invest too, so call today at 480-646-4537. Our goal is to create long-term value and a trust-based relationship with our clients. Learn today how you can successfully invest in small company stocks with reduced volatility by calling Valvista Capital Management. The number again to call is 480-646-4537. That's 480-646-4537. You can also learn more at www.valvistacm.com. That's www.valvistacm.com.
You know, they say money doesn't grow on trees, but remember, trees produce timber, and timberland as an investment has risen faster and with less volatility than the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. In fact, since 1987 alone, in spite of minor losses in 2010 due to the U.S. housing slump, the NCREIF's Timberland Index has risen 15% per year compared to 9.61% for the S&P. During the Great Depression, in fact, stocks plunged 70%, yet timber gained 233%. And even in 2008, when the S&P lost 38%, the Timberland Index gained 9.5%. Nothing, of course, is guaranteed, but trees do grow every year by 4 to 8%, and they are unaffected by wars, politics, interest rates, and market crashes. Want more information on how to acquire timberland? Call my friend Alex Wilson at Medeiros Futura at 855-888-6288 or go online at PreciousTimber.com. That's PreciousTimber.com.
Business owners, think SRP Custom Rebates. Bring SRP your unique energy-saving challenges, and they can help you find out-of-the-box solutions to save energy and money. Get started at SaveWithSRPBiz.com.
I'm Bruce Vail with Your Money Now. Apple showed off its highly anticipated smartwatch, as well as a new 12-inch MacBook that weighs 2 pounds. Apple is hoping the new Apple Watch will drive revenue growth. The watch has several price points. The lowest is $349. Pre-orders begin April 10th, and the watch will be available on April 24th. McDonald's is still struggling to get customers through the Golden Arches. The fast food chain said sales at U.S. locations fell a much worse than expected 4% last month, despite a big marketing push. The weak performance underscores the challenges new CEO Steve Easterbrook will face while trying to turn around the company. McDonald's shares, though, are up nearly 1% today. The broader market is also moving higher in the final hour of trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now up 157 points. The NASDAQ Composite is ahead 13 points, while the S&P 500 is ahead 9. That's Your Money Now.
I don't care what they say. If you own a business, you did build that.
You face the tough challenges and you made the smart calls. So if your business is growing and you need more space, make the smart call today. General Steel. Our buildings have been used around the world, saving our customers as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. If your need is for storage and manufacturing, sure, we're the best. But with our custom exteriors and designs, General Steel buildings are used as offices, churches, retail stores, and more. Imagine a 5,000 square foot building for less than $35,000, or even 10,000 square feet for an unbelievable price under $75,000. These are prices you just can't ignore on a building designed specifically for you. Make the smart call and call General Steel today at 866-95-STEEL. Save as much as half the cost of conventional construction and own the space you need. Call 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
Energy 101. Be a part of the U.S. oil and gas industry. Now back with Troy Eckert of Eckert Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckert or Eckert Global, please send an email to Eckert@EckertGlobal.com or call 1-800-527-8895, and we will make sure you get your questions answered. Here is your host, Troy Eckert.
Well, welcome back, audience. We're ready for segment three of this hour's radio presentation here on Energy 101. Again, we're on Money Radio Station 1510 AM and 99.3 FM every Monday, bringing you Energy 101, basic information about the energy space here in the United States. A couple of kickers that I want to give you today to remind you again, like I have in the last two segments. We are looking at being a co-sponsor of the Tucson Conquistador Classic as an exhibitor and as somebody who's going to attend the conference or the Classic Golf Tournament. That tournament is going to be at the Conquistador Resort. It is a PGA Champion Tour, and it's held March 16th through the 22nd. And Eckert Global will be there, myself, to meet and greet partners and listeners that would like to come by and ask more specific questions about the energy space. Remember, the tournament is held in order to provide capital and funds for children's charities there in the Tucson area. It's for a great cause. The second thing I want to remind you is that we will be having and hosting a private partners dinner on Saturday, March the 21st at 6:30 at Sullivan Steakhouse. If you have an interest in talking to us more one-on-one, please come by the tournament or come by and ask for an invitation by going to EckertGlobal.com/registration. So it's www.EckertGlobal.com/registration. Fill out your name and address. Give us a question. Maybe just have something you want to ask us in particular about the show, or maybe you'd like to meet with us one-on-one. We'd be more than glad to entertain that. So as we left the second segment, we essentially were talking about the different ways fees are generated by being involved in MLPs. So let me give you an example about companies that have taken it to the next level with regard to midstream assets. And I'm assuming many of you that are listening today, as I mentioned in the last segment, are already invested. And that is publicly traded master limited partnerships. Now, there's a website called the National Association of Publicly Traded Partnerships, which is www.naptp.org. National Association of Publicly Traded Partnerships. On that site, they have all kinds of great information with regard to what is a publicly traded partnership, what kind of products and investments do these master limited partnerships actually have inside their basket of assets. It explains what are master limited partnerships. It tells you why you should consider them and not consider them. And MLPs have been around for a long time, and I would say roughly 90% of the underlying assets in these publicly traded MLPs are based on energy-related assets, pipelines, terminals, barges, saltwater disposal wells, things that are directly related to servicing oil and gas exploration companies after they drilled a well and after the risk of exploration has already been taken. The midstream space, the MLPs that are actually buying and acquiring and building assets, are only looking at the necessary parts of the energy stream that allows them to gather, process, and move oil, gas, liquid natural gas. Now, just let me read you something that came out, not today, but I actually pulled it off the website today, and it's talking about how the MLPs and the MLP index has been providing total returns over the last, I guess, 3 or 4 years since all this big shale revolution has taken place. Now, keep in mind, I believe it's 90% of all the revenue, net revenue generated from MLPs are distributed to shareholders or unit holders who buy their publicly traded stock. But overall return is a combination of not only the dividend or the distribution they make to unit holders, but it's also the appreciation of their stock value. And in 2013, that overall return was over 27%. Very, very healthy market. 2014 was about 4.8%. 2011 was 4.8%. It's generally a very steady market, and it generally provides a very reliable source of income as a result of the distribution of the profits that these MLPs make. One thing that is certain, though, is that when the market is moving, because these midstream assets, these pipelines and gathering systems and oil terminals, et cetera, when they are really being in heavy demand by exploration companies, it seems the stock price also moves very healthily along with the underlying distributions. So at this point in time, you know, we've had a lot of our investors, we've had a lot of our industry experts, the geologists and engineers that we work with, have all decided to be investors in MLPs, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much oil and gas you find if you don't get it to market. So one of the things I can tell you is that, you know, we have internally, we track these MLPs, we track the midstream space. I'm personally an investor in one of the second largest pipeline assets in the Gulf of Mexico. We have a company called Kinetica Partners. It's a privately held private equity company. About 2 years ago, we bought that company, and since then, we have been moving and transporting about 500 million decatherms a day of natural gas out of the Gulf of Mexico. That company has done extremely well, and it's been a fun investment for us. But it really resonates with what these midstream assets can do. So, for example, when you look at a MLP, you know, you have two things that you're weighing. You have the underlying dividend or distribution to the unit holders that have bought publicly traded stock or units in these MLPs. But you're also looking at, what does that MLP focus on? Is it focused on barges? Is it focused on tugboats? Is it focused on oil terminals? Is it focused on natural gas pipelines? And that mix, or that focus by those particular MLP managers, has a lot to do with not only are they going to be able to generate and provide those dividends, which they have to by mandate of their corporate governance, but it also tells you a whole lot about whether or not that particular MLP and their area of focus is, in fact, likely to push their stock price higher. I mean, I'm not a stock analyst. I'm not a stock expert. I don't give advice on stock. I just happen to know I follow a lot of MLPs, and I can tell you that I have been very accurate in my own personal portfolio and interpretation of these MLPs. But most importantly, is it very nice to see the exploration sector tie back to the MLPs. You know, when natural gas was moving very hot back in 2000, 2001, the companies that were directly tied to natural gas pipelines and processing of gas plants did really, really well because all this new gas was coming online. In the last 4 years, the midstream assets that have done really well have been those companies that have laid crude oil pipelines to the field in the Eagle Ford Shale, the Permian Basin, the Bakken, to pick up that crude oil, the successful new oil that's been discovered, and move it out of those fields to the market. It also now is about something that's kind of really evolved here in the last, I think the last year. Everyone wants to talk about the Keystone Pipeline, and that's such a controversial asset and opportunity. But one of the things to keep in mind is that much of the oil and gas, or much of the oil, crude oil, that's being produced today in this country is a very high gravity, very high quality crude oil. So West Texas Intermediate crude oil is 42 degree gravity. Let's call that the base, the standard. When crude oil falls below 42 gravity, it becomes a little more asphaltic, a little thicker. It's not quite as high a quality. And when the crude oil is a lot cleaner, maybe up to 50, 55, 60 degree gravity crude oil, it has less byproducts. And so therefore the refiners in our country have all been tooled to receive and process and refine specific gravity crude oil. In the last 30 years, they were mainly focused on oil and gas reserves that were not directly tied to shale plays. So my point in all this is that here we have nasty crude oil, and I call it nasty because it's low gravity crude oil coming out of Canada. We have really high gravity crude oil that's being produced from these shale plays in Texas and other parts of the country like the Bakken. And we have refiners who say, you know, we've kind of tooled our refineries to accommodate a certain amount of sweet high gravity crude oil. We've also been tooled to take care of Venezuela's lower gravity crude oil. And what we need is we need to blend it. We need to take this great crude oil that we have from the Eagle Ford and the Permian and Bakken, and we need to mix it with some of this lower gravity crude oil. And that gives the United States and the consumers some of the best quality crude oil that matches the refinery's capacity. So what I want you to remember is that as we go through the last segment is that there's a lot of opportunity to learn more about the MLP space and the midstream space. And you as a listener and investor can decide how you might play that particular part of the investment world to make some decisions going forward. So I'll do a couple of things before I wrap up and move us to the fourth segment. I'll remind you, this is Troy Eckerd, the CEO of Eckerd Global. You can reach me at 800-527-8895 or teeckerd at eckerdglobal.com. Don't forget about the Tucson Conquistador Classic, March 16th through 22nd. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Is the U.S. shale revolution a good or bad thing for America? Hi, I'm Troy Eckerd, and I'm the CEO of Eckerd Global out of Richardson, Texas. My career has spent over 30 years focused on the U.S. energy industry. I have built my career specializing in developing and managing investments involving exploration development of U.S. energy resources. The shale revolution has everybody's attention, and everyone wants to know, what does the shale revolution really mean? What we want to do is every Monday at 12 noon on Money Radio Station AM 1510 and FM 99.3, we're going to present to you, the listener, Energy 101. Every listener on this radio station is affected by the price of crude oil and natural gas. If you think you're not, you'll never be able to get to work without having a barrel of oil supply that. So right now today, I want to offer you the chance to show up every Monday at noon and find out how you, too, can know more about the shale revolution. Contact us at 1-800-527-8895.
Retire and stay retired, safe, smart, and secure. Call Secured Financial Solutions at 800-957-5604, extension 200. To get your complimentary guide to maximizing Social Security options and understanding Medicare benefits, 800-957-5604, extension 200, and on the web at theripa.com. Listen to On the Money with Anil Vanzarani and Secured Financial Solutions every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. and Thursdays at noon. Also, to be sure to catch Anil on Business for Breakfast Friday mornings at 6:45.
Business owners, think SRP Custom Rebates. Bring SRP your unique energy-saving challenges, and they can help you find out-of-the-box solutions to save energy and money. Get started at SaveWithSRPBiz.com.
Stay connected to business news, the market, and social talk with Phil Grandy and the Phil's Gang Show. Weekdays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on 1510 Money Radio.
Obama can't let the stock market go down. You lied about Benghazi. You lied about the AP. You lied. Stop coming out here as a salesman. What is he, nuts? Phil Grandy here. Be sure to catch the Phil's Gang Show when? Weekdays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on 1510 Money Radio.
Energy 101. Be a part of the U.S. oil and gas industry. Now back with Troy Eckerd of Eckerd Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckerd or Eckerd Global, please send an email to eckerd@eckerdglobal.com or call 1-800-527-8895, and we will make sure you get your questions answered. Here is your host, Troy Eckerd.
Well, welcome back, listening audience. This is Troy Eckerd, the CEO of Eckerd Global. You've tuned in to Money Radio Station 1510 AM or 99.3 FM. This show is called Energy 101. We're absolutely honored to be on the Money Radio Station, providing the listeners of this station the opportunity to learn more about the United States petroleum industry. And through Energy 101, we hope every week we bring you some information that is valuable or important to you to help you make decisions about where you might want to put your money going forward, specifically in the energy space. Again, I'm going to give a plug, and I'm going to talk a little slower this segment because I want to make sure that I get a couple of points across. First thing, I am going to be out in the Tucson area myself personally on March the 19th through the March the 21st. I'm going to be out seeing some existing partners. I'm going to be out enjoying the Tucson Conquistador Classic. It's a PGA Champion Tour. That tour is a opportunity for you to meet and greet a lot of avid golf fans, maybe some PGA stars and some individuals that are touring that particular golf tournament. The golf tournament is raising money for children's charities in the Tucson area. I personally have a great love and affection for helping children. I think it's absolutely what we need to do as a society is to give back to those that are less fortunate and can't really fend for themselves. So I'm really honored to be part of the Tucson Conquistador Classic and to help them drive traffic to that tournament to raise more money for the kids. And by the way, the tournament is at the Omni Tucson National Resort. I said at the Conquistador Resort, it's actually at the Omni Tucson National Resort. and we will be there at Booth 11 in the Expo Alley. The second thing I want to remind you is that we like to do a lot of one-on-ones with our partners and with those that are interested in looking at and talking about energy, as Energy 101 does every week. We will be actually having a dinner at Saturday night, and mainly this is for existing partners. We're just going to bring them up to speed on what we're doing and talk about where the energy industry is headed in 2015. If you just want to make some comments, ask some questions, or talk to us one-on-one, you can always go to EckerdGlobal.com/registration. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll be glad to respond, or you can email me at teckerd@EckerdGlobal. What I try to do on this show is I try to be very different than most that actually host these types of shows. I'm not here to sell investments. I'm not here to talk you in why you should be an energy investor. I'm here to educate and inform, and I want to invoke some of your thoughts about what is taking place, not only in the energy space, but how energy actually affects your other stock investments, your own business, the utilities at your home, the price of gas at the pump. And what I can tell you is that when we get questions or emails or call-ins from our listeners and from those around the country who like to tune into Bloomberg when I occasionally am asked to be a guest speaker and some of the other information sites, what I can tell you, it's always the same thing. The oil and gas industry seems like almost a mystery to most investors. They don't quite understand how it works. I mean, you have a vision in your mind. You think, well, these guys in suits and ties or these redneck fellas, they all get together and they put a map on the wall and they throw a dart at it and say, yeah, we ought to go drill a well over in the north side of the 640 acres on the back side. They drill a well. They try to figure out how they can get it down and make it economically viable, and you know the whole story. They go through the whole process of trying to figure out who they're going to get money from, what kind of risk. And most investors just feel like, man, it's like a card game in the back room in the back alley of a bar with smoke coming out the front door and a couple of seedy characters standing at the door welcoming you in, and you feel like you're going to walk in with a wallet and walk out with an empty pocket. Well, let me tell you something. If you look at most wealthy people in this country, and I'm talking about the top 1% to 2% income earners in this country and net worth, you're going to find that the majority of them have some part of their portfolio, some small and some quite large, that's based on energy, directly investing in the stock market or directly taking investments in actual assets themselves. Now, you ask yourself, why is that? You know, I go to a lot of investment conferences, and what I find out when people go to these conferences, they'll go to all these listeners talking about stock analysts and software that gauges the stock market. They'll all go to all these different speakers that are going to tell them how everything works in the publicly traded equity markets. And then I'll do an educational presentation. There might be 50 to 150 people in the room. Let's say one-tenth, one-fifth of the other rooms. And I find it interesting. Did everybody in that room not understand in that big public stock presentation and software that when FedEx has to decide what their profit margin is, that one of their biggest costs besides labor is fuel and energy? When each company that's doing manufacturing or distribution has to decide what they're going to do as far as growing, they have to decide how much is fuel? Not only for my employees to get to work, but the cost of printing and manufacturing and trucking and delivering and et cetera, et cetera. And I know right now the entire country is benefiting from the fact that oil prices are down and the price of the pump is almost in half and utility bills are going to be lower, and we're all enjoying this nice opportunity for us to take advantage of lower crude oil prices. So if you're interested in understanding more deeply about the dynamics of your investment portfolio, you have to understand energy. You need to be here every Monday. Every Monday at 12 o'clock, you need to turn into Energy 101. You can always go to our website if you happen to miss one of our sessions, and you can go to EckerdGlobal.com, and our staff puts the Money Radio Station shows online, so you can go back and click on them and listen to them yourself. There's a lot of data and information that are given, but at the end of the show, you may stop and scratch your head and say, hey, guess what? I have got to figure out what he meant, what Troy meant by X or Y. Let me email him. Let me call him. So always feel free to contact me at my address, which is T. Eckerd of Eckerd Global. Feel free to give me a call, 800-527-8895. But I'm going to wrap up the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show with the following. In order for you to invest in any investment, you've got to always be financially qualified. And I know some of you out there going like, yeah, we know that. That's not really something that, you know, a rocket scientist takes to figure out. But I think there's part of something that you need to understand. Financially qualified also means suitable. So is it suitable for an investor who is of an age where they can't sustain being in investments that are 3 to 5 years in duration? The answer is no. Is an investment in either stocks or private midstream assets suitable for somebody who doesn't have enough net worth or discretionary capital, or they're not healthy enough to be involved? The answer is no. Most states in this country do not like general solicitation. They do not like their constituents of their states being solicited for investments that don't make sense, they're not suitable, and they don't qualify, and they haven't been registered properly. There are very limited opportunities for investors like yourself to get involved directly in midstream assets. They're almost all funded by large private equity funds or hedge groups. I mean, we're talking, these companies are putting up $1 billion, $2 billion. An interesting statistic is that in the next 25 years, it's estimated $600 billion of infrastructure has to be built to support the oil and gas industry. $600 billion. This is a very high growth market. It's a very high growth potential opportunity the next 25 years. But most of those opportunities are never going to see private investors get the chance to take that that investment opportunity. You're going to have to buy an MLP. You're going to have to go buy public stocks of these companies. And why is that? Because we're talking about projects that start at the $30 million level up to the $500 million level. Now, time frame for investments like this, you know, you can get in and out of the stock market. You could buy an MLP today and sell it next week. It's always an easy trade. But I would never look at the energy sector with less than a three-year time horizon. And probably most favorably, you need to look at 6 years. Many of you have been looking at or have bought some of these oil and gas stocks, and their stocks have underperformed. So what I want you to do today at the end of this show, which we're about at the end of our session right now, I want you to think about joining me every Monday, 12 o'clock, AM radio station 1510, FM radio station 99.3. It's the Money Radio Station, Troy Eckert, Energy 101 show. It's my job and my pleasure to help find out information and convey it to you. Don't forget about the golf tournament in 2 weeks. It's going to be March 16th to the 22nd, the Tucson Conquistador Classic at the Omni Tucson National Hotel. If you want more information, go to EckertGlobal.com. If you want to, go to EckertGlobal.com/registration. Until next week, Troy Eckert having fun in the energy business with Eckert Global out of Dallas, Texas.
You've been listening to Energy 101 with Troy Eckert of Eckert Global, a company with over 30 years of expertise in the energy industry. In case you missed any of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. If you have any additional questions for Troy Eckert or Eckert Global, please send an email to eckert@eckertglobal.com or call 800-527-8895. And we will make sure you get your questions answered. We invite you to join Energy 101 every Monday afternoon from 12 p.m. through 1 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed on this broadcast are not intended to offer solicitation with the respect to the purchase or sale of any securities. Eckert Global has prepared the broadcast solely for the purpose of providing educational information on the oil and gas industry. Investing involves a great deal of risk, and nothing spoken during the show should be construed as a warranty of investment results. All risks, losses, and costs associated with investing, including total loss of principal, are your responsibility.
Laura Bramnick is a real estate agent and a real estate attorney. Laura Bramnick knows that a good attorney safeguards her clients and their well-being. Each decision or direction she and her clients make together is with one purpose, the most effective resolution, for now and for the future. For more information, visit TalkRealEstateAZ.com or call 480-624-2705, 480-624-2705. To talk with Laura, call 480-624-2705.
Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Is KFNN Mesa Phoenix and K257CD Phoenix, the station you've relied on for more than 26 years to keep your financial future on track. We are Money Radio. Dow is up 141 points, the S&P is up 9, the NASDAQ is up 16. Oil is little changed. Today it's at $50.03 a barrel.
Just ahead,
Money Radio brings you the latest news, business news, Arizona business news, the weather and traffic. And it all starts right now.